Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Mari Lewis Stump. When cleaning your house, do you ever wish a robot was there to do it for you? Well, the University of Missouri Healthcare System has that luxury. In addition to traditional housekeeping, a UV robot is used to disinfect certain areas. This robot can kill germs, including from the Ebola virus if it had to. I spoke with the healthcare system chief quality officer, Kristen Honkover, about what this robot can do.
This is something that we've been using for about 3 years now. It's a machine that shines UV light, and the UV light provides disinfection to the areas that the light touches. And so we have been using that as one of the interventions in our hospital disinfection and cleaning program in patient care areas.
Okay. Why was there a need for such an invention?
There are many things that we do to remove potentially infectious agents in the environment. Good cleaning practices, good cleaning products, vigilance, trying to reduce exposure as much as possible. All of those things are important and standard and getting better over time. We are very committed to, as an organization and in healthcare in general, to preventing every healthcare-associated infection that we can. And this is a technology that is additive to the other things that we use to decrease potential environmental exposure to infectious bacteria, viruses, et cetera. One special feature of the UV disinfection is that it does treat the spore form of bacteria called Clostridium difficile, which is one of the healthcare-associated infections that we nationally and we, of course, locally, because we're a hospital, worry about. We, as a healthcare organization, didn't specifically make this purchase 3 years ago because we thought that we had some unmet problem, but as yet one more layer, one more intervention that would allow us to see further reductions, ongoing reductions in our healthcare-associated infections. And, in fact, we have.
Where are the robots most used?
We decided up front the specific rooms that we would use on a routine basis. So we have rooms that are designated for isolation in the hospital for patients who have some sort of infectious disease that could be spread to others through the hospital environment. Also in our operating rooms, in our kidney dialysis unit, cardiac catheterization labs, endoscopy labs for GI procedures, bronchoscopy suites, which is where we do scope testing into patients' airways. So those are all areas where we know that generally there's more of a risk of surface contamination with bacteria or viruses, and also, you know, our most vulnerable patients. And so we began the routine treatment of those areas on a scheduled basis with the UV disinfecting treatment, the robot treatment.
Okay. How long does a robot take to clean a room?
So this is in addition to the usual cleaning. So the housekeeper will come in and clean with the appropriate cleaning products, and then in the designated areas we'll use the UV disinfecting robot. The one individual disinfection treatment takes 5 to 6 minutes per cycle. However, just because of the way a room is laid out, one cycle may not be sufficient to catch all the surfaces or cover all the surfaces that we're concerned about. And so typically a room will take more like 2 to 3 cycles, depending on the size and the configuration of the room. So about 15 minutes in addition to the standard cleaning time.
Ranchers in the Midwest and the Rocky Mountains have a rich heritage of raising sheep, either for their meat or for wool. Colorado is number 3 in wool production nationwide, despite the fact that the overall sheep herd has been slipping for decades. But as Luke Runyon reports, one entrepreneur is hoping to reinvigorate an old sheep-raising region's wool economy.
Inside a small warehouse outside the city of Craig, Colorado, Lorraine Moon and her husband Lewis spend their days turning dirty, oily, scratchy wool into fine yarns. The first thing you notice about Yampa Valley Fiber Works is the humidity.
We keep the humidity up to 88 to 94% to keep the static electricity at bay.
The multi-step process of making yarn starts with a wash to clean out dirt. The raw product is then pulled, tugged, and twisted through a series of machines meant to coax the fibers into manageable strands.
So this is just combing it.
The couple bought the equipment to start milling late last year, and once word got out among those in the area who raise sheep, alpaca, and bison for their fiber, orders started coming in from all over the country. On another machine, Larray feeds long brown alpaca fiber into a machine that coils it into a tall stack.
This has been a fragile fleece. It's needed a little babysitting.
The wool industry has seen a bit of a resurgence in local niche markets. Some sheep ranchers have taken advantage of the local food movement to sell to customers at farmers markets and through community-supported agriculture models.
We have all sorts of teas up here. What would you love?
We leave the milling room for the kitchen for tea and cookies. We're surrounded by finished yarn spun into colorful coils. Sheep are an indelible part of the culture here in Moffat County, Colorado. The city of Craig plays host to a sheep wagon festival every year. And one of the largest sheepdog competitions in the world is held in nearby Meeker. But Larray says the agricultural ties go much deeper.
Down here, you know, it's grown and busted. And agriculture's been kind of the one constant, though, you know, it has subsided a bit too. But it's still kind of the constant that always is here. And so that's kind of the rich part about Moffat County.
Even so, the area has never been home to a large-scale wool processor. And as a small producer, Larray says she's unable to take in the massive orders from sheep ranchers nearby. Tea time doesn't last long here. Larray and her husband, Lewis, quickly head back into the milling room to keep working. They're still in the first year of production and are taking things slowly, only accepting as much as they can handle. Lewis, a former heavy equipment operator, says that gives quite a bit of time to let the mind wander while working.
Every fleece has its own personality. It's just like people. We have not run across two fleeces that were identical yet.
And the couple's happy to keep discovering those new twists along the way together. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Maureen Lewis-Stone. Thanks for listening.